We're going to be ministering today, continuing our series. Today we want to focus on when we gather, we are blessed by the gift of servant leadership. Amen. Last week we talked about generosity, and the last couple of weeks, generosity and it becoming a lifestyle. Well, I believe that we have a lifestyle too of servant leadership. And I thought it was an appropriate Sunday since we're going to be talking about leadership. This is a good day. We have a little leadership change we're going to be making, and we want you to be part of that today. I mean, you know, you're all leaders, right? Everybody's a leader. But God has always established leadership in the church. And I know I've been blessed personally by the leadership of this church. And it's everywhere. Is that right? Do you understand? Someone gave me a suggestion last week. Actually, three people gave me a suggestion. And when three people give you a suggestion, you probably ought to listen. Isn't that right? They said, you know, we don't know who the leaders are. We don't know who the elders are. We don't know who all the deacons are. We don't know. And so they said, why don't we make a list and put it in the bulletin so we will know who they are, how to get a hold of them. Good counsel. So we're going to do that. In your messenger article, you'll see a list. Even here's faith groups. How many of you know that takes leadership? Yeah, there's eight faith groups there led by eight particular individuals. And I believe they're servant leaders. You know, we're surrounded by servant leadership here. I've been in a lot of churches, and I can tell you, Faith Community Church is unique. I've never been in a church with so many servant leaders. And you are such a blessing. I mean, think about it. Just look around. They're everywhere. Did you enjoy worship this morning? Well, Taylor, he works hard every week. And his team that come together. Who are these people? They're servants. They're servants. They're servant leaders, aren't they? Diana, children's ministry. What a servant's heart she has. I've never been in a church when I sat with an employee said, Pastor, I think you pay me too much. Never had that happen before. I said, I went home. I said, Connie, who are these people? Who thinks like that? Servants. Servants think like that. Frank back there working with the youth every week. Alicia down here working with the ladies. I was watching her during greeting time. She was over here talking to somebody. I thought she was preaching a sermon. Looked to me like she got to her third point before I interrupted her. But, man, she was intense, passionate, and she is, isn't she? She's passionate about women's ministry, and we appreciate that. And Paul with men's ministry, Brad does. How do you think this property stays nice all the time? Servants do that. You see, we have people who have servants' hearts, and Linda cleans. You know, how does this place stay clean? Who vacuums? Who does that? Servants do that. Servants. We're surrounded by servants. Donna, who works in the office. You say, well, she gets paid. Well, let me tell you, you can't pay her enough. She has her helpers who come, her team. I think, wow, this is incredible. You know, sometimes if I'm down in the dumps, I thought if I could just get to the office, I'll feel better. Why? Because there's servants there. And you know what servants do? They'll encourage you. They'll speak words of hope in your life. And just being around, did you know being a servant is a virus? You get close to it, you're going to catch it. And I believe we have a virus in this church, and it's called servitude. And it's catchy. And if you stay around here long enough, you're going to catch the bug. Amen? Pat works with our finances in the office and works with our finance council. And how do you think all that comes together? It's people who have a servant's heart. I just love them so much. Joe Weibel working with our deacons. Man, and he's even starting to dress up. See something sketchy in the air, right? Doesn't he look good? Praise the Lord. And all his team. Do you understand all the things that happen? You come to an event and tables are set up. How's that happen? It's servants. We're surrounded by servants who are ministering. And we appreciate them so much. Our elders, which we're going to talk about this morning. I was thinking about Mike McClard this week. Some of you know Mike. He visits with me every Wednesday. I go to his house. You know, I like visiting, but I like more Mike getting in my truck because he just bounces in my truck. He's a spark plug, man. He gets in there. He's so excited. I said, Mike, I don't want to take too much of your time. Oh, no, I live for this. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's got a servant's heart. And he inspires me. Glory to God. So we're surrounded, and that's just a few. We're surrounded by the spirit of leadership, and I believe that God is in it. And today we're going to pass the baton. And it has to do with our elders. And, you know, right now we have Marshall Limer. He's kind of our point guy. And Kenny Graham and Brian Whitmore. And we were talking in the elders meeting the other day, and Brian said, you know, I made a one-year commitment 5 years ago. I said, well, I'm appreciative. I want you to know. And Marshall said, I made a five-year commitment 10 years ago. So that's how servitude works, right? You get in it, and you're in the river, and you just get, wow, you get so wrapped up in it. And so anyway, we've been wanting to add some more elders to our elder group. And so we have, and we're going to add some more, but we have a brother in our congregation we've really prayed about. And we have asked Paul Duncan to be one of our new elders, and we're going to present him to you. But when we did that, Brian saw that as his way to escape. And so when we were presenting him at the elders' meeting, he says, I think this might be a good time for me to go ahead and step aside because he's got a lot on his plate, and we just appreciate Brian so much. And so he's going to be passing the torch this morning to Paul. And I'd like Brian to come first if he would, and I have a little gift for him that I want to give him. And then Paul's going to come, and they're going to share with us, and we're going to pray over them. I was at a store the other day, and I found this mug. And I thought for a minute you were escaping. But I saw this mug, and I said, man, I said to the lady, you should have just put Brian's name on this mug. And it says, Man of Wisdom. And this is what it says. Blessed is the man who uses knowledge and experience to improve the well-being of others, who guides with respect and encourages with love. Wow. Benjamin's mom told me this morning, she came up to me, I actually wrote it down, because she said, I've never had too many people say they love me. And I tell you, if you ever need a hug or you need somebody to love you, this is your man right here. And I have, in 4 years I've been here, I have felt so loved. And Brian, he's the last man to leave this building on Sunday morning many times. And he'll always come up to me at the end. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Doing okay? Just want you to know I love you, care for you. He'll text me. He'll call me. That's a servant leader. And I just love him and appreciate him. He's not going anywhere, so just relax. But but he is shifting to a new season. So would you put your hands together and just let Brian know how much we love him, and I'd like him to share a little bit with us.
Morning. I want to put in a plug for Tim and Ruth with the Young Life thing, because I came to Jesus through Young Life as a freshman in high school. Senior invited me to an event, and I went, okay, hayride, I guess. And it was supposed to be a real fun activity out, you know, campfire and marshmallows and all that. And during the hayride, one of the guys fell off the wagon and was run over. And that fun event became a very serious thing real quickly. And God began to work in my heart there. And then they invited me to a Bible study that Young Life did, and little did I know, but it was my mom's boss that ran the thing and was the head of Young Life in my city. So it's been a good journey. Excited to hear all that. It's been a great privilege to serve as an elder. When I was asked, and during the time I served, I kept thinking, what on earth am I doing in this position? And God always gave me the word from the book of Esther, it's for such a time as this. And within the first year of being an elder, we lost another elder and we lost a pastor. And it was some pretty rough sailing there for a while. But we've weathered that storm, and I'm really excited about bringing Paul on. It was really great to bring Kenny on when we did. And I'm stepping down now because I can, because the church is in great shape. We have a fantastic pastor. We've got great leadership. We've got great deacons. We have servants in all our positions across ministry. And I feel like I can step down because things are great. We are in good hands. You as a congregation are in good hands because your leaders place you in God's hands, which is really great. I am not going anywhere. I don't think I'll be here next week, but yeah, I'll still be here. This is my home. When I came to faith 6 years ago, I think Daniel Wood and Mike and Judy McClure were the only people I knew. Mike and Judy I've known since I moved to Wichita in 94. So, but in that time, I've gone from knowing those people to gaining an entire family right in front of me here. So love you guys very much. Thank you.
All right, and I'd like for Paul to come. Diane has brought her class down with her so she can join us. When you're married, how many of you know when you're in ministry, you're both in ministry, right? I know that's true for me. And I don't know where I'd be without my wife. Let me tell you, she's not here. She's preparing for the elders' luncheon, so she's not here. So you be sure to tell her how much I love her, will you? Say, and if enough of you tell her, it'll go good for me. It will. Well, I'm honored to, we all know Paul, but now he's going to be taking on a new role here in the church. I've known Paul since he was a teenager in the Salvation Army. And little did we know our paths would go like this. We would cross in and out all these many years. And Paul even ended up in Valley Center for a while and was on our leadership team there. Little did I realize we would be back in this kind of situation. There's no way to ever predict these things. You just keep walking and see where God takes you. And so I'm excited. If you don't know Paul, I see him as a perfect replacement for Brian, because Paul is pretty even keel. He's got a spirit of peace about him and calmness. Neither one of these men are perfect. They've both been down some rough roads. And personally, I like leaders who walk with a limp. I like leaders who have lived their lives and yet God's grace has covered them. And so I'm just so happy that Paul's agreed to come on board. We are going to be looking for I was wanting to expand the elder board. I wasn't counting on somebody stepping aside after we added one. So we're hoping to get, we're praying. And so please pray for us in that search, because we believe God's going to build our leadership team. This last year, we said, would be a year of transition. It'd even be a year of pruning. And it has been in ways I never expected. But this is the word for next year. It's going to be a year of increase. So, and God is positioning, and leadership will be very much a part of that. So would you put your hands together and greet Paul and welcome him in a new position. Bless you, buddy.
Thank you. Back in the end of 2015, I found myself in St. Francis Hospital. I spent 23 days there because of blood clots in my lungs and in my legs and acute kidney failure. And Joe came, found out that I was there. He came by and to see me. And some of you have heard my story before about where he told my friend Grady Strop, if you want to see Paul, you need to come see him. Because it looked like I wasn't going to make it. Well, God got me through that. And I went through a time of physical healing. And then, of course, in hand came spiritual healing. Because I was in need of spiritual healing. And during that time, my wife of 40 years decided she no longer wanted to be married to me. And so then I went through a divorce. And in those times of darkness, I found a place of safety here at Faith Community. I found friends. I found family. And I wouldn't be standing up here accepting this position if it wasn't for my new family, Diana, who I also gained by coming here. I don't take this as an opportunity to be a boss. I see this as a servant situation and opportunity. I don't come into this with any expectations other than releasing expectations and knowing that it's by God's hand and by His grace we will proceed. And we will get to where we need to be. I thank you for being my family. I thank you for being my friends. I thank you for being my brothers and my sisters. I love you.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask Brian and Paul to step down. I'm in front here, and Marshall and Kenny, I believe, are here. Are they not? Would you come, our elders? And I meant for Marshall to say a few words in the early service, but I kind of rode right over him, so I apologize, sir. But I want to give the mic to Marshall. He's been so faithful in leading us as an elder board, and I want you to know we have a team ministry here. There's no top dogs. What we do as a team. I am a fellow elder. I just happen to stand in the office of pastor. We take this scripture very seriously, and then I want Marshall to share his heart and pray. It's in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. I want you to know your elders watch over you. Whenever we meet, we're going to be meeting this afternoon, we are talking about you. We are watching over you. We are very watchful. We try to have our hand on the pulse of what's going on in people's lives, and we care, and we pray. He says, not because you must do I want you to do this, but because you are willing. We don't have elders that go, well, if you insist, if I have to. No, there is a willing desire. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, not just looking for position or power, but eager to serve. That's the heart of it. Eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Marshall.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Is it working? Are we good? All right. I want to make this a little personal, because Brian and I have walked a journey. And he alluded to it a little bit, but just so you'll appreciate this guy, we came to an elders meeting several years ago now, sat in my basement, totally not expecting anything, to have the pastor say, I feel like the Lord is moving me to another place. And at the time, I think we were both like, huh? It was totally out of the clear blue. And later on, after you get past that shock, you get to thinking, God, what are you doing? You just dumped a church in the lap of a mechanic and a teacher. What are we going to do? But after a while, you get to the point where God is in control. And we're not responsible for this church. He's responsible. He is totally responsible for this church and the direction it is, has gone, has always been. And Brian, my first thought was, oh my goodness, Brian's leaving me too. What am I going to do? Brian has hung in there with me. And I've said all that to say this. I want to quote a passage from an old Christian movie, Forrest Gump. And it says, Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get until you take a bite. That has been eldership for us. And Paul, you heard that. There you go. But Brian, you emulate the passage that Pastor just read. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you're willing. You have mirrored that. And you have just been a godsend in
yes,
my life. And
yes.
I appreciate you. Amen. And Paul, I mean, what are you saying? I mean, how do you top this? You get married in a year and become an elder in a year? That's pretty awesome. Okay, you're both looking at me. Families first. If this position causes hardship in your relationship, I'm done. Just walk in and say I'm done. I can't do it. Because your hearts for each other comes first.
Amen.
You agree to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, it's such a blessing to have you. Brian's not going anywhere. Actually, when he told me that a few months ago, my first question is, does that mean you're leaving the church? And he said, no, it's just going to free me up to be able to play the saxophone more often in worship. Oh, wait, that was an exaggeration. Tanner, did you hear that? Well, I'm going to ask Kenny to pray over these. And everybody just stand up. And far as I'm concerned, you can all come up here if you'd like and put your hands on this couple and bless them, or you can just reach out your hands where you're at. It's whatever you're comfortable with. And I'm going to ask Kenny to pray over this.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. We see you move in this church, not just every Sunday, but every day. And we just thank you for Brian and the wisdom that he's brought to us, the calmness, like Joe said, that he brings to situations, and just the love and the care that he shows through his whole life. He does that in his teaching, he does that in his home, and he does that in this church. And it's like Joe said, he'll always be an elder, just maybe not on the board. So he'll always be here with us and for us. And Paul, we've seen you move over the last 4 years, with how Paul came to this church and the things that's happened in his life that has been guided by you. You have been in every step that he's taken in these last 4 years. And to bring him and Diana together and just the servant heart that both of them have in faith community. They show the love to this congregation every day. And we just thank you for that. So Lord, we just look to you. We follow you. We want to be in step with you in this journey. And we just praise you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Marshall. And Brian, there's the mug in here. There's also a card from the elders and a special gift I know you'll make use of. So thank you so much. Bless you. Wow. I know it's late, but I can do it. I can do it. Because that was part of the message, okay? So I'm gonna do it. I'm like Paul Harvey, okay? I say that, I was telling him in the prayer room, we had Paul Harvey come to our Salvation Army banquet in Kansas City 1 year, and I asked him, how much time do you need? He said, I need 16 minutes. I said, 16 minutes? Why not 15 minutes? No, 16 minutes. Okay. I thought he's messing with me. And so he got up and started speaking, and I set my watch. Bing! And I'm watching him, and pretty soon 15 minutes passed. It kept ticking. It got up to about 10 seconds, and then 5 seconds, and then 3 seconds. And when that thing hit that 16-minute mark, he said, good day. And he sat down. So now for the rest of the story, I'm going to finish what he should have done. I just want to let you know how much I love you and appreciate you. And what we're going to preach about today is for me, it's for all of us. I know you might not think of yourself as a leader, but we're all leaders. And God brings us together. And when we gather together, there are three marks of servant leadership I want you to look for. I'm going to give this to you real quick because I just want you to appreciate what God has done. Okay, here's the first mark of servant leadership. These are people who use authority and position to love and serve others. All right? Now, in the world today, we know there are people who have power and authority, and sometimes it's misused, right? They'll use it to lord over people. But Jesus said, in the kingdom, my leadership is going to be servant leadership. And that position that you might have, or that authority you might have, it is for one person purpose, and that is to serve other people. In Colossians 1, 15 through 18, I just want to read this to you. This is an image of Jesus, all right? Was Jesus in a position of authority? Yes, and power, yes. And here's how it describes him in Colossians 1, 15 through 18. He said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. Right? Okay. He's it. He's the head of this church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Okay. Do you got that? Do you understand who Jesus is? He's in a place of supreme authority, isn't he? Well, look at John 13, because this Jesus who held this position did something so radical that he wanted us and the disciples to know that his heart was not to rule over us, but to bless us and serve us. You know this story well in John 13. And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Wow, this is a love story, isn't it? And of course we know after supper ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing, he knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. See, he's in this position of authority, right? He controls it all. He knows that he had come from God and was going to God. So what does he do in that position of authority? He rises from the table. After supper, he laid aside his garment. He took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he wiped them with the towel with which he was girded. This is what servants did, what slaves did. It was unthinkable that the person of authority would take this position. But Jesus is demonstrating something. In fact, this is why Simon Peter responded the way he did. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Simon said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. No way. This is not right. You are in a position of authority. You are Lord. You are master. This is not something you should be doing. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And I love Simon Peter. Don't you love his passion? He says, well, if that's true, then wash my whole body. I love his passion. I mean, he's the guy that jumps out of the boat naked and swims. I mean, he's just, we got people in the church, not that run around naked, but we got people who are passionate, right? I mean, there's certain people, I'm going to put them out front. There are people here I'd follow on assault on hell with a water pistol. I'm telling you, there are people that are that passionate. You know, those are people. That's Peter. And so here he was, well, Lord, if this is true, man, then do it all. And then Jesus, after he had washed their feet, he took his garments, he sat down, and he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for that's what I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is he his sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You know, some of the most happy people I know are servants. The people here in this church I know who are most, they just have this spirit of joy in their lives. The world example of authority is like this picture here. And maybe you get to experience that every week, do you? When the boss gives you orders and you follow them, right? And how many of you dream about being the boss? Well, if I could just be the boss. How many bosses would say it ain't what it's cracked up to be, right? No. Because sometimes that's the model we see, isn't it? But the kind of servant leadership that Jesus is showing us looks like this bottom picture, where we're not just shouting orders, but we're leading the way, right? And I want you to know, those are the kind of leaders you have here as elders. I was sharing in first service Some of you know my story. When I was a pastor and left the pastorate in 1997, one of the little things that people didn't know about us was my wife felt, as a pastor, that I had really abused our family by putting the church first in everything, and that I had actually went too far in the ministry. It wasn't family first. In fact, one time she wrote in my calendar, we used to have faithful men every day, and she got in my daytimer one day and crossed it out, and she wrote in there, faithful family, ? Now, what do guys do when they read things like that? We get defensive, don't we? Well, wait a minute. How do you be a good pastor, a good father, and a good husband all at the same time? And almost I don't think it can be done, right? And you get kind of defensive about that. So when we left the pastorate, I thought Connie would never want to go back into the ministry again. And, you know, we started our own business, and then we came here. And as interims, and one day I remember sitting right over there, my wife leaned over and whispered in my ear, I love this place. If when they find a new pastor, can we still come to church here? I went, whoa. I said, well, baby, that's not how it works. Well, I'd sure like to come. I just love this place. I thought, man, God is turning her heart. Well, long story, here we are, right? And I remember the Sunday in May when we were installed as pastor, and we went into the little office, and in there was a bouquet or a vase of roses, and it had a card, and it said, Connie, from the elders. I thought, well, that's nice. Look, honey, the elders got you some flowers. She goes, oh, that's sweet. And she picks up the card, she opens it, and in about 2 seconds, she begins to weep. And she lays the card on the table. And I went, well, you didn't even have time to read it. And she could hardly talk. And I thought, well, what? So I lifted up thinking there was $1,000 in there or something. There were only two words written on the card. And you heard Marshall speak them today. Family first. They didn't know anything about our journey. And I was like, wow. And so later I asked the elders, why did you do that? Why did you do that card? Why did you write those words? They said, well, we just wanted you to know. And I want you to know. They're serious. They're serious. And that's the kind of leaders you have here. And we love each other. And we care about. One time I gave them early on. I'm a calendar guy, right? And I gave them my calendar. I said, I want you to pray over this. I got a response I wasn't expecting. We don't like this calendar. It's not right. So what do you mean it's not right? Pray over it. No, there's no family time on here. You're going back to the same old ways. How many like to be surrounded by people who tell you the truth? I need that in my life. Who love me and tell me the truth. And that's where Connie's Day came from. Every Monday's Connie's Day. And I love it. You guys text my wife. She's not here, so I can tell you. She just loves it when you text her and say, Happy Connie's Day. She just gets a thrill out of that. This is a whole new thing for us, and we're old. We're old. Say, who are these people? They're servants. That's who they are. They're servants. Secondly, quickly, we'll move. We'll go. Give me just a little extra time, but we can do this. Number two, servant leaders serve with a heart of joy. It's true, isn't it? They serve with a heart of joy. Here it is, Genesis 29:20, my favorite story. Jacob is in love. It's a love story. He's got his eyes on Rachel. From Scripture, she's pretty hot, I think. Just listen to the way he's describing her, you know. He's like, oh, man, I love this woman. And so he makes a deal with her father to work for 7 years. How many of you dads, we need to change our way of doing things, don't we? When somebody wants to marry your daughter, yeah, would you work for me for 7 years? He said, I'll gladly do it. But dad was, he was a trickster, and he switched daughters on him, right? You know the story. And what happens? He says, okay, you still want Rachel? Another 7 years. And this is what the scripture says. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. I want you to know something. It's not burdensome being here. You know why? Because we love you. It's not like, oh, gee, gosh. I talk to pastors sometimes. I'll just be honest with you. They whine about the ministry often. You know, oh, how's things going? Oh, I had a guy tell me, I love the pastorate. I just hate people. I think he's serious. I think, what? Yeah, it's people that are the problem, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You're in it for the position. But when you love people, it's not a burden. Is that right, parents? When you have children, changing your kids' diapers, no big deal, is it? Now, other people's diapers, that's another. But your kid, hey, why? Because you love them. You love them. It's not a burden to you. And so it is that people who have a servant's heart, that they serve with joy. They're happy people. It's not, oh, gosh, have I got to do this, you know. In fact, we read this in our sermon on generosity, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Is that right? God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to serve with joy, not out of obligation, not because we have to. Remember what it said? Willingly, that's what we do. I think sometimes in the church world, we have a celebrity mentality. We talk about famous ministries and people, and if I could just get there. Listen, Jesus is teaching something different in the kingdom. It's not about fame. Who's great in the kingdom of God? Servants. People that you might not even see on the front, on center stage. They are the great people in the kingdom of God. Look, Jesus himself in Hebrews 12 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." What was the cross? It was servitude, wasn't it? He came out of joy to bless us. What's the song say? He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have ended this thing with a snap of his finger. He didn't do it. For the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? You. You are the joy. And so that's how we serve. And I want you to know, I love getting out of bed every morning. And you've made me that way. For lack of a better word, it's a hoot being here, let me tell you. You know why? Because I'm surrounded by servants. And when servants get together, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, servants, you very rarely hear them complain. Servants are not easily offended. Servants are not looking for accolades. They just love to serve. It's part of their DNA. Number three, a servant's heart. When they serve with grace and humility. They serve with grace and humility. Nancy came up to me after first service. She gave me a good word. I never thought about this. The first miracle that Jesus did, what was it? Turned the water into wine. Who had front row seats? Servants. The servants went and got the water. The servants got to hold it while he turned it into wine. Servants are often front row seat to miracles. All they were was just being servants, and they got to see the first miracle of God. Amen? Well, in Mark 10, Jesus, we know the story. You know, the disciples are having this discussion. They've had a lot. We do too. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, right? Who's going to be the greatest? Do you ever fantasize about that? You know, being great, being famous, you know. In the kingdom, it's different. Jesus knew what they were talking about. You know, I heard someone say once, everyone wants to be a servant until someone treats them like one. Yeah, in Mark 10, they had a different idea, and Jesus called them together knowing what they were talking about. He said, listen, guys, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. You ever been in a church like that? Yeah, it's all about control, isn't it? I want you to know something. I pledge to you this one thing. We will not be organized for control. We will be organized for release of ministry. Release of ministry. Jesus says, this will not be so among you. I like those words. Not so among us. It's not going to be that way here. Aren't you glad? Instead, he said, this is what it's going to be like. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slaves of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Romans 12, 3 through 5. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. And then he goes through this list of gifts, and guess what's listed in there? Those who lead. Is leadership a gift of the Holy Spirit? It is when there's a servant's heart. That's how you know if it's from God or not. If somebody's arrogant and haughty, and let me tell you, I've been there. I'll tell you something about Paul Duncan. One time when I was in Valley Center, Paul came up to me, and he had the guts to say this to me. He said, Pastor, you just use people. And then when they no longer serve you, you kick them to the side of the road. How'd you like to have somebody say that to you? He was right. He was right. That's exactly right. Because I got into that mentality, you know. And bless God, I'm head cheese here. You know, I'm the guy. And I'm thankful for Paul because he saved me. He saved me. And that's the kind of leaders we have who will speak the truth in love. Sometimes you need hard things said to you. You think, well, that guy must not love me because he said something hard to me. No, it might be he does love you. And that's why he said it. Philippians 2, 3 through 8, our last scripture. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So oftentimes people use their position of authority and power to their own advantage. Not so in the kingdom of God. It's for other people's advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. In 1 Peter 5, yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility, grace. See, the enemy of leadership is pride and arrogance and power. And it's in the church. And there's people who will try to manipulate us. If I ever try to manipulate you, run the other way, because that's not what leadership's for. Leadership is, now leadership may have to speak things, but if you don't sense that love and grace and humility, then be a Paul in my life and tell me, okay? Some people say, well, you know, don't touch God's anointed. Really? Sometimes God's anointed needs a kick in the pants. We're not going to hide behind that. You can be God's anointed and be wrong. So I'm grateful to be in a church where truth can be spoken. I want to give you these three P's. I'm not going to comment on them much. Just give them to you. Three P's. This is how you bless leadership. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about elders, deacons. I'm talking about all our ministry directors. I'm talking about our office staff. I'm talking everybody in that leadership position. And listen, this happens in the home. There's leadership in the home. There's divine order in the home. You need these three things. Here's the first one. Would you pray? Would you pray? No greater blessing than to know people are praying for you. And the scriptures tell us, pray for those who are in authority. That's the first thing you do is you pray. I pray over you every day. You know I take the roster. I've got it divided up in seven little buckets, and I pray every day for a group of you. And sometimes God will stop me on the way. But what's really great is I know people are doing the same thing for me, and sometimes you text me. And you send me notes. I'm praying for you today, Pastor. You have no idea what that means. No idea. What a blessing to know you're in a place where people are praying. And secondly, you need to praise. One of the things I do every day is I try to send a handwritten card to somebody. A lot of times it's in my prayer time or something else. I have a little reminder on my desk that says, card a day, card a day, card a day. You know, we send emails, we send texts. Try sending a handwritten card to somebody. You have no idea. No idea. And I receive those. And they make my day. And the elders, you just don't understand how powerful it is, as Pam, right? As Pam said, never had too many people say they love me. Too many, stop. I've had enough of that. I love you. No, I don't want any more. My wife's never said, would you stop telling me you love me so much? I've never had her say that. Never had her. Lastly, we need to participate. Nothing thrills leadership more than when people come around them and participate and be part of whatever's going on. That can be all kinds of things, from finances to showing up and being part of, you know, even being here this morning, participate. You know, I love this church because you're not out on the perimeter, you're in the center, and that's what we want. And listen, I'm already seeing next year happen. I'm already seeing the increase, and I'll tell you, it'll come out of a heart of servitude. That's where God is going to do his work. It's powerful to be a servant. You say, man, that's weak. That's just weak. No, it's power. It's power when we begin to work. And don't worry about who's going to. President Reagan had a little sign on his desk. Some of you know about it. Remember what it said? It reminded him every day. He said, it's amazing what can be accomplished if people don't care who gets the credit. Servants don't care about that. It doesn't matter. And they get excited when other people are exalted. But people in authority with arrogance, not so. They want to get the credit. They want to be lifted up and exalted. Amen? How many received this word today? It's pretty simple. Sorry I went over a few minutes, but you need to hear every word of it. And that's why we're going to come to the table this morning. And we're coming in this spirit, right? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He gave his life, a ransom, sacrifice as part of servitude. It's always present. When servants are present, sacrifice is present. You'll find them everywhere. This church is contagious with servitude, but I'd like to see it go to a whole new level. Amen? We're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning as Brian plays for us. I want you to prepare your heart. You say, well, it's just juice, it's just bread. Somebody cut it up in the kitchen and put it over there in a plate. You don't understand how powerful. This is the table of servitude. Jesus made himself a servant and did this for us. You know, people who are real servants, I've noticed something else about them. They're in awe of what God's done for them. It just seems to be part of their DNA. With all that God has done for me, how can I not serve others? And I'm not talking about just people who are easy to serve. What about people that aren't so easy to serve? What about people who will never give you credit, will never acknowledge you? I mean, I'm lucky, I'm here, and I get that acknowledgement all the time. I'm blessed, thank you. But some people never get it. But a real servant's heart? Imagine Jesus when his own betrayed him. Imagine that, what that was like. And then everybody left him. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured it because he knew what was coming. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for this word. I needed it in my heart and life. And I thank you, Lord, even at this age, that you're changing me. And you're making me more of a servant. Because that's what I want to be. I want to serve this church. I want to serve my neighbors. I want to serve my friends. Lord, I want to serve the waitress at the restaurant or wherever my feet are. I want to do what servants do. Would you help me? I know it's a gift that you're going to give us, and I believe you've given it to this church, and we want to take it farther than it's ever been before. Would you help us? As we come to this table this morning, we remember your gift to us, and we receive it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we prepare to dismiss? We're going to have times of prayer here. We're not going to be in any hurry. If you need prayer, leadership will come. Others will come that God has gifted with servants' hearts who want to love you and minister to you. I know there are a lot of big-time needs, some pretty heavy. Chantel is here. Some of you know about the needs that are present in her pregnancy and what the doctors have said. There's great concern, but we want to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to have faith. We're going to trust God. The servant of servants is coming to minister to us. And he came and died on the cross to give us what we need today. And so we want to pray together. Mark's in the back. Sarah is still in the hospital. How many weeks, Mark? 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And precious Sarah, you know, I was praying for her. I told you what the Lord spoke to me when I was praying in the prayer room for Sarah. And I said, Lord, just I want you to touch Sarah. And he said, you mean my precious Sarah? My precious Sarah? Is that who you're talking about? And I shared that with her. I said, Sarah, you're his, you're precious, and he knows you by name. And it's been a long journey. And sometimes we go through difficult times, folks. God didn't promise us we wouldn't have trouble. He didn't promise us we wouldn't struggle. But he said, listen, be of good cheer. I'm going to give you peace, and I've overcome the world. Come and trust me and believe. Let's stand together. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do that. And I just invite anybody who has needs to come, and we're going to anoint with oil and pray. If you just need encouragement today, you just need a hug or something, then we'll be down here. We want to minister to you. Amen? Amen? I just feel my heart today. God really wants to minister to people. So take advantage. Take advantage. Don't say no. God's waiting to be gracious and merciful to you. Amen. Father, bless this church. We love you. And you love us. There's no greater equation than that. And so, Lord, we stand. And we stand in love for you and one another. And we know that you have great things in store for us. And it's not just the dam up within our own hearts, but it's that we might be rivers of living water that flow everywhere. I pray that be so. Not that we'd become a big name or everybody knows about Faith Community Church. No, Lord, we just want to know about you. It's not about our reputation. It's you, Lord. So we just humble ourselves and we worship you and praise you. Thank you, Father, for your blessing on our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go. Those who would come and help us pray this morning, we invite you to come. God bless you.